You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Brain, I am so glad to be back on this show with you. I just flew across the entire continental United States twice in 2 days.
Ooh.
The shoot job had me flying to California and then flying right back on a Saturday and Sunday. So I'm exhausted, but football never stops, Brain. So we got to talk about football.
Yeah, the NFL has done a great job of spacing everything out so that you always have something to be excited about. We're a month out from the Super Bowl, and we're a week away from the start of the league year and free agency and that whole frenzy. And then by the time that settles down, we're going to be a couple weeks away from the draft, and then it'll finally settle down a little bit once you get into like May and June.
Yeah, the doldrums of summer. But we're not there yet. We got a long way to go. And as you mentioned, free agency is kicking off next week with the start of the 2024 NFL league year. So we are going to talk today. Each of us has made a list, and we've coordinated just enough so that there is zero overlap on the list of top five free agent targets for the Miami Dolphins that we are going to talk about today. So if you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel right now, shout out to you. Give us a like, smash that thumbs up button. We appreciate that very much. If you're watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, shout out to you. Give us a like right there. And leave us a comment. Let us know who are your top five targets for the Dolphins to grab in free agency. And I want to preface this by saying people that were not on the Dolphins in 2023. We have priorities for guys that we want the Dolphins to sign. We've just done a whole series of shows that you can go back and listen to our thoughts on what the Dolphins should do with some of those guys who were on expiring contracts. We did episodes about all of those players, and you can go back and listen to it and get those opinions. This is a show about external free agents who were on teams other than the Miami Dolphins last year that we are looking for the Dolphins to bring in this year. So that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of the show. But before we do that, we've had a little bit of breaking news about players that were previously on the Miami Dolphins, who we previously did shows about. That's Christian Wilkins. That's Robert Hunt. And that's who we're going to kick off the show talking about. But first, a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Make sure you download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. And seriously, leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. It really helps us out. We appreciate it. Download, rate, review, Same Old Dolphin Show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. And make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins all off-season long. Stick with us. So let us know in the comments, who you signing? Who you bringing in? who are you trading for? Question mark. We could even talk about that, Brain. You and I think it's a leverage play more than anything, but we could talk about that. But first, the big news. Brain, the Miami Dolphins, well, they haven't announced it, but word has come out that the Miami Dolphins are not going to put the franchise tag on Christian Wilkins. Now, when we did this, when we did our Christian Wilkins episode, I said the Dolphins needed to move hell or high water, do everything in their power to make sure that Christian Wilkins is a Miami Dolphin in 2024. The simple fact that the Miami Dolphins are not placing the franchise tag on Christian Wilkins does not, in and of itself, mean that Christian Wilkins is not going to be a Miami Dolphin in 2024. What it suggests is that the team has decided not to place that franchise tag, and they are letting Christian Wilkins go out there and test the open market. My feeling is, while it is certainly a possibility that the Dolphins are going to let Wilkins go out and sniff around and find an offer elsewhere, it's certainly a possibility that Wilkins could then come back to the Dolphins and be like, here's the offer that I got. Will you match it? And the Dolphins, being the Dolphins, being in Florida, a no-tech state, there is certainly the possibility that the Dolphins could decide to match the offer. Not out of the realm of possibility. But it's also possible, given where things have gone with that negotiation so far, that the Dolphins were not willing to pay Christian Wilkins what he wanted last offseason, and that they have not been able to strike a deal thus far, suggests to me that Wilkins has a specific number in his mind. And if there is a team out there that is willing to meet that number, I don't see the Dolphins suddenly reversing course and saying, okay, we're going to give that to you. I think the only chance the Dolphins have is if the offer that they made to Christian Wilkins is the best offer out there and nobody can beat it. And given the financial state the Dolphins are in relative to other teams out there, I would be pretty surprised if the Dolphins start, if the last offer from the Dolphins was the best offer that Wilkins can get. So to me, it feels like we may have seen the end of Christian Wilkins in a Miami Dolphins uniform. It's not a certainty, Brain, but that's kind of what it feels like to me right now.
Yeah, I think that's what it feels like. And at the end of the day, I think it's been a long time coming that, you know, the writing was on the wall when this deal wasn't done last offseason, when you knew it was impending. And then, you know, midseason when, I think even before the season, when was Sealer signed during the season or was he signed before the season? I think he was signed before the season.
Yeah. I mean, it was right at the beginning. Might have even been training camp.
Yeah. So once the Sealer signing happened, you kind of got the sense that the writing was on the wall. The issue that I have with letting Wilkins walk is that the best that you're going to get is you're going to get a compensatory pick that is going to be a third round pick that could become a fourth round pick depending on, you know, if he on the number of snaps that he plays if he happens to get injured or something like that. Whereas I feel very confident that you could have traded him for more than that if you franchise him. The issue is that the Dolphins have painted themselves into a corner. They painted themselves into a corner that put them in a position where Christian Wilkins knew that he had the leverage on them and that they had to sign him long term and that they didn't want to put the franchise tag on him, and that the rest of the league knows that the Dolphins, because of their cap situation, do not want to put the franchise tag on Christian Wilkins. And so you end up in a situation where if you do tag him, you don't have necessarily a deal in place. So when the league year starts, you're going to be operating on a tighter budget than you'd like. So by letting him walk, now you don't have to operate on that tight budget. The downside is you're losing arguably your best defensive player coming into the season. and your captain, and a guy that you drafted, a guy that you developed, a guy that's gotten better every single year. And here's the thing. First and foremost, let me preface this by saying, this is obviously not what I would have done. And just because this is not what I would have done does not necessarily mean that this cannot work to the Dolphins' advantage. At the same time, I'm very, very curious to see what kind of contract Christian Wilkins ends up getting, especially if he gets a contract from a different team. Because with the cap going up, if Christian Wilkins signs a contract for like $26, $27 million per year, and the Dolphins were at a position where they were like, well, we were willing to give him like $24 million per year, and the difference is like $2 million per year, which is nothing. It's literally nothing, because the way you can structure these contracts, you like it doesn't even matter what the annual, you know, per year salary is. It really comes down to like the guaranteed money, which you're going to put into a roster or into a signing bonus, and you're going to prorate it over the lifetime of the contract. Hell, you could put a dummy year at the end of the contract. So it's like, if it comes down to like $2, $3 million a year, I'm sorry, I'm not losing my best player, or one of my best players who's just entering the prime of his career, over a dispute of $2 to $3 million a year. Now, if he gets $30 million per year, more power to him. And then at the end of the day, you say, all right, well, I probably would not have paid him $30 million a year. But I get the feeling, I mean, certainly, if the Dolphins would have paid him $25 million a year and just agreed to the contract last year, when I said that they were penny pinching and playing hardball with their best player for some reason, you know, that we wouldn't be in this predicament.
Right. This is the situation we find ourselves in, because the Dolphins tried to play hardball last year. And now, to be fair, Christian Wilkins gambled on himself, right? He bet on himself, because the Dolphins, by all accounts, had an offer out in front of him last year. And Wilkins decided that that wasn't enough for him, and that he wanted to go out and put it all out, pull it all out there in the final year of his rookie deal, and bet that he could put up big numbers and earn himself an even bigger contract. The Dolphins took that gamble, and the Dolphins lost that bet. And now we find ourselves with a guy like Christian Wilkins, the guy who has done everything that you could have asked him to do as a Miami Dolphin, right? You drafted him. He came in. He met every expectation. He stayed healthy. He played hard. He succeeded. He became the player that you wanted him to be. And the Dolphins played hardball, gambled, and lost, and now find themselves in a position where one of, if not their best defensive player, may be playing in some other team's uniform next year. It's not a certainty, but man, it hurts. And here's the reason that I am upset about it. And again, he could still very well be a Miami Dolphin, and this whole conversation could be moot, right? But this is a situation where I am waiting for the cohesive vision for this team to come together. And I don't understand how allowing one of your best defensive pieces to walk out of the building because you didn't want to pay him helps make this team a better team going forward. That's my question.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, just because this isn't what we would have done does not mean that this couldn't work to the team's advantage. I think it's important to have that perspective, because there's always an opportunity cost. You know, if you sign Christian Wilkins to a big contract, well, then, you know, granted, you can structure these things so that you could still get guys in. But at some point down the road, you're going to end up in a situation where you can't sign everybody. So if you don't sign Christian Wilkins, you know, that's money that you can spend elsewhere. And if the idea is, we know this at this point, we know Chris Greer does not value defensive, the interior defensive line. That's just, Chris Greer has made it painfully obvious that he is going to draft and pay players at premier positions.
Yep.
At quarterback, tackle, wide receiver, edge rusher, and corner. The writing was on the wall, you know, when they traded for Bradley Chubb in the middle of the season.
Oh, we said, Brain, you were calling this Christian Wilkins thing 2 years ago that they were going to let him walk.
As soon as they traded for Bradley Chubb.
Before that, you were on it. Yeah. You were like, I think they're going to just let this play out and he's going to end up walking.
Right. Well, I thought for sure they would at the very least trade him and get, because I think you could get a lot more than a late third round pick for Christian Wilkins. The problem is that they've painted themselves into a corner. If they knew that they weren't going to sign him, they should have been shopping him around the entire offseason. And they should have been public about it.
Yep. So,
instead of, you know, this facade that because clearly they haven't been close in the negotiations. Because in my opinion, if they were close in the negotiations, the second the news came out that the cap was going to be $15 million higher, then it's like, all right, we're off by $2 million. Screw it. We're just going to use that to sign Christian Wilkins. And it would have been done. But they're clearly very, very far apart in the negotiation. So if you're that far apart, you clearly made your decision when you signed Sealer for like half the money that Christian Wilkins is going to get. And I'm not arguing about that. That's a great signing. And I could certainly get on board with the logic that if you're going to pay one of your defensive tackles and you can get Zach Sealer for half the price of Christian Wilkins and you can get a cheap replacement to give you adequate performance next to Zach Sealer, and then you can go and spend that money elsewhere, then yeah, I can get behind that logic. I just feel like the problem with this team for years has been not enough elite talent. And now you have an elite talent and then you decide not to pay him because you're going to end up spending the money on guys that are, you know, adequate and depth. And I generally don't believe in that policy, in that strategy of building a team, especially when it's a guy that you drafted and developed and is just in the prime of his career and is shown to be, you know, reliable and just gets better every year. So I think that you can work with this. There's a logic to it. I'm not going to sit here and kill Chris Greer right now, because at the end of the day, let's see what he does.
Yeah.
Let's see what the plan is. But to your point, I don't know what the plan is.
Exactly.
Because furthermore, we also got news that Robert Hunt is planning on being in, testing free agency. And I think the Robert Hunt thing, I think, is a little different because supposedly Robert Hunt, you know, basically had his mind made up that he was going to take. Well, it depends who you believe.
Well, because that's the story the Dolphins are putting
out there.
It's the same situation where the Dolphins had more than ample opportunity to extend Rob Hunt. They could have done that again a long time ago. This is another guy that you drafted, another guy that you let get to the end of his contract, and you find yourself in this situation. You know, it's a very similar situation. And the thing of it is again, if you're now not going to pay Christian Wilkins his money, Robert Hunt is a guy, again, brought him in, drafted him, brought him in. He played well, got better every year, and you know, scored the greatest non-touchdown touchdown of all time. And now you're not going to give the man his money. And again, listen, if he's asking for like ridiculous money that has been, depending on who you ask, he's asking for money that is probably way more than the Dolphins are looking to invest, so be it. But again, this is another example of, and this is an example of a guy playing a position that the Dolphins don't really value that much, an interior offensive lineman, and at a position in an area where the Dolphins struggled, where as the season wore on this past year, yeah, Hunt was one of the strongest guys in the lineup, and he was a little banged up this year, but that offensive line is the unit that the Dolphins need to improve on this year if that offense is going to take another step forward. It's one of those key areas. It was an area that, yes, there were injuries at play, but that is an area that the Dolphins got, it significantly slowed the Dolphins down late in the season when things started to break down on that offensive line. And we said it at the beginning of the season, we said it, you know, going into training camp, that the Dolphins didn't seem to invest enough on that offensive line. When everything was perfect on the offensive line, it was okay. And Tua did a lot to cover up some of the warts on that offensive line by getting rid of the ball so quickly. But when things started to break down, it all kind of fell apart. And so, again, it's an area where I would like to see the Dolphins invest. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show today as well. But the Hunt situation is yet another one where the Dolphins and their reluctance to pay guys that they have developed, it's concerning. And by the way, they're going to have to chalk up a whole lot of money next year, cough up a whole lot of money next year when they sign Jaylen Waddle to his extension, because those wide receiver contracts are, you know, getting to be quarterback level.
Yeah. And well, and that's part of it. That's part of the reason for them trying to be a little bit frugal, is that they know that next season they're going to need to start paying Jaylen Waddle and Javon Holland. And depending on how this season goes, you may even have the extension for Jalen Phillips locked and loaded, because you're going to start, you know, you don't want him to go into his fifth year. You're not going to play him on his fifth year option. Ideally, you're going to extend him before he goes into that. So there are big decisions on key players, and that's part of this. You talk about painting yourself into a corner. The Dolphins, if they're not, because we haven't heard anything about Connor Williams, it's kind of been a foregone conclusion around people in the know that the Dolphins were going to let Connor Williams probably test free agency and probably going to walk. So if that's the case, you go into next season, or you go into the off season, into free agency, with Teron Armstead at left tackle, presumably. We don't know for sure.
Presumably.
We'll probably get official word on that within the next few days. But
at this point, it's 75-25 that he plays.
Yeah. But if, assuming he plays, or then you're getting Teron Armstead at left tackle, you're getting Austin Jackson at right tackle, you've got Keon Smith under contract, and you've got Liam Eichenberg under contract. And then you've got like the dregs of the right. You got the Lester Cottons of the world. Like, you are going into the offseason and you absolutely have to pay for two interior offensive linemen. Now, granted, there's a possibility, I think more so with Rob Hunt than with Christian Wilkins, there's a possibility that Rob Hunt tests free agency and that the Dolphins just wanted to kind of let the market set itself, and then they end up paying Rob Hunt to stay here. I would like very much to see that happen. Personally, I'm not getting caught up in, oh, I think Rob Hunt should make $14 million a year, but he wants $17 million a year. Because again, in the grand scheme of things, with the cap going up every year and with the way these contracts are structured and then restructured, it doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter, especially when you're talking about locking down a key piece to your long-term puzzle. So I think there's it's very possible that Rob Hunt goes out and tests the market and that the Dolphins go and say, you know what? We're going to pay to keep Bob Hunt. But if they don't, you're going to be signing two interior offensive linemen at least. And then you're putting yourself into a position where you absolutely have to draft for need with one of your first two picks in the draft, which is a terrible place to be unless you feel supremely confident that either Liam Eikenberg or Robert Jones is going to be one of your starters, and you're going to feel good about that going into the season. And I don't know how you go into an offseason where the big talking point is we need to get better on the offensive line, and then you go into the next season and you say, I feel pretty good about Liam Eikenberg or Robert Jones being one of my starters. Because I'm not feeling that. Because if we do that, I'm going into next season with Liam Eikenberg or Robert Jones at one starting spot, and then two offensive linemen that we got on the cheap who are downgrades from Connor Williams and Robert Hunt. And I'm saying, I don't know how the offensive line gets better doing that. I think it gets significantly worse. Not to mention that with the offensive line in general, we all know, anybody that's watched and followed football and the NFL in general over the past 20 years or even 5 years, you know that offensive line in general is sometimes the most important part is continuity. And you have an offensive line that was growing in continuity, and now you're busting up 60% of it. And your two tackles, your two pillars, one guy, you're lucky if he plays six games in a year, and the right tackle, you know, has missed his share of games and is coming off of his best season in which, you know, he was a good run blocker, but he, you know, still struggled in pass protection.
Meanwhile, and I'm not sure I'm buying a whole lot into this, but meanwhile, the Dolphins have been mentioned as a team to keep an eye on in terms of the trade market for Kansas City Chiefs cornerback Legarius Sneed. Now, this would be the ultimate Chris Greer move, because in order to make that trade, the Dolphins are going to have to give up a lot, right? And not only are they going to have to give up draft capital, which they already are very low on. I think they've got their first round pick, and then they don't pick again until day three.
Oh, they've got a first and a second, and then they don't have, I think, a third and a fourth. They may not have a fifth either.
Right.
So
they're low on draft capital. And they're going to trade for Legarius Sneed, a guy who, by the way, they are then going to have to pay. So are you then, you're going to then be coughing up big time elite cornerback money for Legarius Sneed. I just find it to be completely ridiculous. And I think that's why I don't buy into it, because that seems like, well, yes, that would certainly solidify and answer some questions in that cornerback room, where you certainly have more questions than answers at this point. So it would certainly go a long way to shoring that up. But at the same time, it's like there are other needs that this team has that I think are a bit more pressing than that. And you're going to spend elite money on another cornerback when you still have the offensive line in question. Your defensive front, you're letting a defensive tackle walk out the door, so you're going to need to replace him. You're going to need to have somebody on the edge at the beginning of the season when you've got Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb on the shelf. In all likelihood, Andrew Van Ginkle could be walking out the door. What are you going to do? And where is this money coming from that you're paying everybody with? So, not to mention, we haven't even mentioned the fact that they're now talking about Tua getting a market-setting contract at quarterback. We're not going to talk about that tonight, because we'll wait for that deal to come down, and then we'll have that conversation. But to me, the Legarius Sneed thing, it's got to be an agent, Sneed's agent, putting the Dolphins' name out there into the world to say that they're in on this trade, and the Dolphins aren't immediately shutting it down because they're it's kind of a clown show, you know, it's kind of a clown shoes operation at times. Or they're actually in. But to me, this is another classic example of the Dolphins being used for leverage so that somebody could, you know, so that they can try to get a little bit more capital out of Detroit, which is a team that actually makes a lot more logical sense for Snead to end up on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, with the lack of drafting that this team has done the last 2 years, and with the whole idea being, well, we need to get cheaper young talent, you know, that's under team control to kind of get this thing under control from a financial standpoint. Trading a high draft pick, whether it's a first or a second, for anybody at this point is just not responsible, because you're only doing that at this point if you feel like you're it's like the ultimate win now move. And, you know, I think Chris Greer, with the move to let Christian Wilkins walk and, you know, not signing Rob Hunt, you know, or not coming to the agreement right away with Rob Hunt and letting him test free agency, I think he's telling you that while we want to stay competitive and we'll see how this thing pans out in free agency, I think Chris Greer is not coming into this 2024 season, you know, pushing all of his chips into the center of the table. So if that's the case, I'm very happy about that, because I think they very much need a retool year to set the floor of this thing and infuse some young talent, some cheap talent, so that they can then continue to build on the foundation that they've built. But if they were to go out and make this trade, this would be a disaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely. Be a complete disaster. Again, I don't think there's a whole lot of substance to it. Yes, I know it was reported, and it was reported by a reputable reporter, but I also think it's very, very likely that an agent put the Dolphins' name in this reporter's mouth, and it's not actually a scenario where the Dolphins are pursuing it. Or I could be wrong, and the Dolphins could be doing wacky stuff again, because they're the Dolphins, and that's what they do. But anyway, Brain, let's get into the free agent stuff, because I think we've talked a whole lot about Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt. We see that the chat is popping off. The chat thinks the chat is actually fairly evenly split about whether they think the Dolphins should move on from Wilkins or keep him. But, you know, the chat is always popping off. So it's a reminder to you that you can get involved with the live chat if you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, or if you are watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. So go ahead and do that. Smash that like button again. Shout out to everybody in the chat watching live. We appreciate y'all. We're glad to be with you, whether you agree with us or not. Whether you're like one of those guys that in the chat, this dude called us clowns because we didn't know the draft picks off the top of our head immediately. Called us clowns because of that.
Oh, by the way, they've got a first round pick. They've got a second round pick. They got a fifth, 2 6, and a seventh. So
we're going to be busy on day three. So excellent stuff. Anyway, smash that like button, everybody. We appreciate it. Let's get into it. Free agent time. Here's what we're going to do. Brain and I each came up with five free agents, not necessarily guys that we think the Dolphins will pursue, but guys that we would like to see the Dolphins pursue. These might not be guys that the Dolphins necessarily have the means to pursue in all cases, but it's the guys that we would like to see them go after and get. And again, we put this list together without a whole lot of consideration of who the Dolphins have in-house and are going to be re-signing. We've already made a lot of that known. Okay. So again, you can go back on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, check out previous episodes of the Same Old Dolphin Show that we've been doing over the last month and a half, and you can hear our thoughts on some of those guys the Dolphins have in house. So let's go to it, starting with our number fives. And Brain, I'm going to go first because we're going to kick this one off. All right. Kicking this one off with a player who I think is somebody that the Dolphins have needed for a while, and they haven't really had anybody that fits this kind of profile. And that is running back Derrick Henry, formerly of the Tennessee Titans. I want to see the Dolphins go out and get Derrick Henry, sign him to a short-term 1 or 2 year deal. Keep it in the single digits of millions of dollars. I don't know that he would accept it, but you go out there and you make that deal, you bring him in. And this is a guy, if he would accept the role the Dolphins would give him, because this he would be coming in to be a specialty back, really, for the Dolphins. He'd be that short yardage hammer back that would, I think, be a perfect complement to what you've got with Mostert and Achan, to speed guys, to have that big, powerful back, Derrick Henry. And what I like about Derrick Henry is that he's not just the big power back who can run the ball up the middle. He's also a guy who can catch passes. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He can be involved in the offense in the other way. He can be that additional blocker. He's a guy that I think fits in a lot of ways and helps the Dolphins maybe become a little bit tougher nose offense. We heard it time and time again that the Dolphins are a finesse team, a finesse offense. And Derrick Henry is a guy that can help sort of change that perception of who the Dolphins are on offense. And he's somebody that I would like to see them bring in.
My issue, I have a couple of issues with Derrick Henry. Not, you know, personal issues, just the idea of signing Derrick Henry.
What did Derrick Henry ever do to you?
Nothing. I mean, he could have played a little bit worse in that game against the Dolphins last year. That would have been nice.
Yeah,
he could have not scored that. What was it? Did he score the game-winning touchdown? He could have not scored one of those.
Watch out, that guy's going to call you a clown here if you don't remember that off the top of your head.
But my issue with Derrick Henry is twofold. Number one, you're talking about an aging running back. A running back in general, but also an aging running back. And you're talking about an aging running back who mostly is going to do his work in between the tackles. And we don't even know who our interior offensive linemen are going to be. And it's probably going to be a downgrade off of what we've had in the past.
It's likely.
So, do you trust an aging running back? And we've seen time and time again these running backs that have had massive success with the teams that drafted them. And then they go out on the open market at age 30, give or take a year. And they're just not the same player. They've got a lot of tread on their tires and they're not the same player. And if you don't have a dominant offensive line and Derrick Henry's lost a step, then and he starts getting hit in the backfield, well, then there's no guarantee that you're getting the Derrick Henry that we all think that we, when you think of Derrick Henry, you're all thinking about the Derrick Henry from a couple of years ago. You know, the Derrick Henry that led the league in rushing every year and, you know, was it every down three, you know, three down back. And, you know, it's going to take three guys to bring him down and he's going to average like 5 yards a carry. I don't think that's what you're going to get. Now, could you platoon him? Could you make him, could you sign Derrick Henry and then say, well, we have Raheem Mostert and we have Devon Achane. So maybe we don't need to have Derrick Henry carry the rock, you know, 25 times a game. Sure, you can do that and you can limit his carries and maybe that keeps him a little bit fresher for you. But the other part of the problem is the contract. Because of those things, you're probably going to have to give him a short-term contract. And we're sitting here talking about how to kind of make things work under the salary cap. And one thing that's really difficult to do when you're in the salary cap is when you're operating on a budget is making short-term contracts work.
because they eat up more of the cap space. So I don't think a one-year deal is going to make sense, because good luck getting, you know, Derrick Henry for less than $8 million per season. And a one-year deal at $8 million means an $8 million cap hit. And $8 million is probably the floor. He probably wants closer to 10, 11. So what you're probably going to have to do is you're probably going to have to get a little creative. And you're probably going to have to do something like, you know, like a two-year deal worth $16 million and you make like $12 million guaranteed in a signing bonus. And then you put a dummy year at the end of the contract so that the signing bonus only eats up like $4 million a year. And then you can kind of turn that into like, you know, like a $6 million or like a $5 million cap hit or something like that. You can, sure. You can kind of play sure. with the numbers to kind of bring that down. And then, you know, you probably, you know, depending on how he plays, you might extend him again after the season, or you just let him walk after one season. But that's the other part. If you're going into this and you're saying like, yeah, we're trying to get better. We're still aiming to be competitive and we're trying to win the division and hopefully win a playoff game. But realistically, this is not our year to go all in. Well, then why are we spending money on a short-term contract on a running back?
Sure. And here's the thing, and we'll move off of him here, but you're not going to get Derrick Henry on the Jeff Wilson contract. It's just not going to happen. And so as much as I would love it to happen, I have my doubts. And again, as somebody in the comments mentioned, he's a running back. And if there's a position that Chris Greer doesn't value, running back fits the mold as one of those positions. So, Brain, tell us who your number five free agent target is.
All right, fair. And we're not going to go back and forth on all these guys because we're already running long. My list in general was kind of guy, like I'm looking at values in free agency. I'm not necessarily looking at like the top of the market guys. I'm looking for value. So I'm looking at a center that is similar in build to Connor Williams, in athleticism to Connor Williams, and age. I'm looking at Aaron Brewer from Tennessee, a guy who's super athletic. He's getting, you know, he was an undrafted guy. He's gotten better every year. He took the starting job at center the last 2 years for Tennessee and is a guy that can continue to bulk up and get a little bit bigger, but has a extremely high ceiling, particularly as a run blocker in a zone running scheme. So I think he's a great fit. So if you're going to move on from Connor Williams, Aaron Brewer.
Okay, well, so I hit him as your number two because I think you changed your order.
Oh, well, whatever.
But I've let him labeled as your number five for now. So right. There he is. So now you're gonna have to finagle the rest of your list to get back on track here. And I just sent so we'll go from there. But good, fair enough. There it is. Here is my number. So who's your number four free agent target?
Number four is going to be DJ Reader. Obviously, we spent the majority of this show talking about losing Christian Wilkins. The Dolphins are also going to have to make a decision on whether or not to bring back Raekwon Davis. I think DJ Reader is more of a Raekwon Davis replacement in style. But also, I think when you look at the way that you know, Anthony Weaver's defenses have been the last couple of years. It's his defensive tackles. He generally has one guy that gets after the quarterback, and then he has another guy that's more of that, like, you know, sort of like a nose tackle space, you know, a space filler. And so DJ Reader is a significant upgrade over a Raekwon Davis and would play the role differently than a Christian Wilkins. And then, you know, you're probably trying to add like a young piece in the draft to kind of fill out the rest of that room.
Yeah, I like that. I like both of those picks for you. My number four free agent, going back to the offensive side of the ball. And I'm realizing that almost all of my players are offensive players now that I'm looking at it. This next one is a guy who I think will aid the Dolphins when it comes to blocking, but he's also going to be a key component in the offense. And one of the things that we've heard from Mike McDaniel in terms of what is the next phase of this offense, it's involving the tight end more. And I think it is possible to upgrade from Durham Smythe. And I think one of the ways the Dolphins can do that is by signing free agent tight end Noah Fant. This guy can move for a tight end, and he can block. His numbers have been down over the past couple of years in Seattle, but this is still a guy that is going to be able to produce. And I think he's actually a guy that you're going to be able to get a decent little deal on. I don't think this is a guy that you're going to have to pay through the nose to bring in. So I think Noah Fant at tight end is my number four free agent target, Brain. And then that will bring me to number three. I'm staying on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm considering the offensive line. I am considering an interior offensive lineman who the Dolphins can bring in and who can be a huge pass blocker for the Miami Dolphins. A guy who's coming off of a career year, a guy who is a little bit older, but thus might be able to be a guy the Dolphins can bring in to replace potentially Robert Hunt, that they certainly won't have to pay Robert Hunt money to, and that is guard Kevin Zeitler. He just had his best year at age 33 with the Baltimore Ravens, and I think he is a guy who could come in and really, I think, fit in quite nicely. Not a perfect world. It'd be great to have him and Hunt both on the offensive line, but let's not get greedy. Kevin Zeitler is my number three free agent. Brain, who is your number three?
This one's interesting because for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think I'm not 100% sure what the market is going to be for him. And he's also coming off of a season ending injury, but he's also, you know, he's fully expected to be ready. And if he is, I think he's a huge, huge upgrade to the depth in the Miami Dolphins wide receiver room, which we definitely need. And so I'm looking at a potential buy low candidate in Darnell Mooney, because if you can get a guy like Darnell Mooney operating in the slot, and then it doesn't put the pressure on Eric Ezukanma to really have that, you know, that breakout year. You're not counting on him. I think now you've got enough guys in that receiving core where you have enough when you've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But if one of those guys gets hurt, you need somebody else on that roster that can beat man coverage. And so I look at a guy like Darnell Mooney, and I think that's if the price is right. Like, I'm not paying Darnell Mooney, you know, $10, $12 million a year. And if that's what it ends up costing, then I'm going to look elsewhere and go a little bit cheaper. But if you can get Darnell Mooney at like $7, $8 million a year on like a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, something like that, I'm open to it.
Who's your number two?
My number two is another guy that's kind of going under the radar, who a couple of years ago you would never think of as being a value, but we're talking a lot about, we haven't talked about it on this show, but Jerome Baker, there's his status up in the air. Do the Dolphins extend him? Is he a cut? Do they keep him? Do they trade him? Devin White, first round pick a couple of years ago, starred on the Bucs defense on that team that won the Super Bowl just a few years ago, and now is kind of going into free agency without much buzz. And you look at Anthony Weaver's defenses in Baltimore. If he's going to bring in a similar type of defense, like I know you might be talking about a similar type of guy, but he likes speed at linebacker, and Devin White can fly at linebacker, and I think would be an upgrade over Jerome Baker. And I think you can probably get him for cheaper than what you're scheduled to pay Jerome Baker this year and next.
I like the pick of Devin White. My number two is actually in that same position. But unlike Jerome Baker, he is not going to be a guy that you're going to get for less than Jerome Baker. But he's a guy that we have talked about on this show. And especially when the cap was announced to be higher than expected, he was a guy that I thought, well, here's a guy who might benefit from the Dolphins having a little bit of extra money to play with, particularly if they're not going to do anything with Christian Wilkins and they're going to let him out the door. This is a guy that might slot in and help firm up some things in the middle of the defense. And that is Patrick Queen. Again, just had a great year with Anthony Weaver in Baltimore. This is a guy that I think would make an excellent addition to the Dolphins defense. He's a guy you're going to have to pay for. But I think the thing is the Dolphins are going to need to splash out some money somewhere this year. Well, I mean, I guess they don't have to. But, you know, with my understanding of who Chris Greer is, they're going to splash out some money somewhere to try to firm things up. And the defense is one of those areas, particularly in the linebacker position, where I think they could afford to strengthen up a little bit. So that makes my number two free agent pick for the Miami Dolphins, Patrick Queen. So now we're down to our number ones. Brain, I talked about the Dolphins needing to spend some money. Maybe they're going to spend it at linebacker. But another place that I would love to see them spend it, and again, I would really not be unhappy about it, would be on the interior offensive line. And I think one of the guys out there, one of the top guys out there, if their plan is to let Connor Williams walk, then I think they got, and if, you know, there's a possibility they could certainly draft somebody to come in and play center. The offensive line class in this draft is, I've heard people say that it's one of the best offensive line classes that they've ever seen in an NFL draft. There's a lot of talent there. So there's a lot of interest there. But given that the Dolphins are picking at 21, a lot of the guys, and granted, there's still going to be plenty of talent left, but the best of the best are going to be long gone by the time the Dolphins pick at 21, and the Dolphins don't necessarily have a whole lot of ammunition to move up if that's something that they wanted to do. So I think the place that they might need to spend the money is on bringing in a proven center. And the guy who fills those boots for me, Lloyd Cushenberry. One of the bright spots for the Denver Broncos in recent years. Part of the reason that Russell Wilson had a hard time because he couldn't see over Lloyd Cushenberry. Maybe Tua's going to have that problem too, but that's a whole other show. But Lloyd Cushenberry, I like it. If you're going to need to bring in a center, bring in somebody who you know can do the job and help you solidify that offensive line. Lloyd Cushenberry, that guy for me. Brain, who's your number one?
For what it's worth, We coordinated a little bit on this so that we wouldn't have any of the same players. The only player that we definitively both would have had in our top five, provided that the Dolphins don't bring back Connor Williams, was Lloyd Cushenberry. I took Aaron Brewer because Josh had already picked Cushenberry and Cushenberry was his number one guy. So I said, well, I'll go down a peg and I'll go to Aaron Brewer. But I'm going to stay on the interior of the offensive line, because if we're going under the assumption that Bob Hunt and Connor Williams are gone, the Dolphins absolutely need to sign two interior starting offensive linemen in this offseason. And so I went Aaron Brewer at center. So I'm turning to guard, and I'm looking at Seattle's Damian Lewis. I think here's a guy that's a mauler, who can get up to the second level, is sort of in the same kind of tier as Robert Hunt, but maybe isn't viewed quite on that same level. And so you could probably get him a little bit cheaper. So if the Dolphins were playing hardball with Bob Hunt to save maybe $3-5 million a year, I think you could probably get Damian Lewis for that price. And I think you wouldn't have a huge drop off there.
Yeah. So there it is. There's the list. And I'm sorry, I can't help but when every time I hear Damian Lewis's name, I think of the running back. But
I think of, well, that was Damian Williams. I think
not the Dolphins running back. There's another guy. He played for Auburn way back in the day. Anyway, regardless.
I think of the Damian Lewis from the Hurricanes National Championship team, defensive tackle.
There you go. Well, here's my top five recapping. I had Derrick Henry, Noah Fant, Kevin Zeitler, Patrick Queen, and Lloyd Cushenberry, the brain who changed his lineup, changed his order for me. Had DJ Reader, Devin White, Darnell Mooney, Aaron Brewer, and Damian Lewis. Those are the free agents that we would love to see the Dolphins target. Here's the thing. Those are the guys that we'd like to see them target. We want to know who you want to see the Dolphins target. Let's see if I can scroll through here. And see who's out there. I do have, so here we go. Here's Armstead needs to be replaced. Well, we'll see. Leave us your thoughts. Leave us your thoughts. Let us know who you think the Dolphins should bring in to be their free agent targets. We'll see what happens. We know the Dolphins like to shop typically in the bargain bin. That is kind of where Chris Greer goes. He likes to take gambles on guys with injury histories that he might be able to get cheap. So maybe that's something he's going to do. Oh, here it is. Somebody wants us to go bring in Christian Wilkins. Here's another one from True Blazer. A new GM. We'll see. We'll see how things go. If things crash and burn this season, we might be getting a new GM, but we'll see how things go. So we'll be back next week. We probably won't be back on Monday next week. I think we're going to wait until after the league year opens and we have our first flurry of news that we react to. So I'm not entirely sure at this point when the next episode of the show is going to be, but we'll see. We'll see. We will have a show for you next week. Just not sure what day yet that's going to be. But the biggest thing is, thank you for being part of it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for chatting with us. Thank you for leaving notes in the comments. Thank you for smashing the like button on the video. Have you done that yet? Please do that. Go ahead and like the video. We appreciate it very much. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Leave us your thoughts. Who do you want to see the Dolphins sign? Should they fork up the big bucks for Christian Wilkins no matter what? Let us know. Should we fork up the big bucks no matter what for Robert Hunt? Let us know. Put it in the comments. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the Same Old Dolphin Show. We will be back with you next week. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And no matter what, as always, go Dolphins!
How can the Dolphins' offensive line get worse? We're about to find out.